This morning, congressional lawmakers heard from a pediatrician in Uvalde about the horrific wounds he witnessed after last month's school massacre. The doctor said bullets from the semi-automatic weapon the killer used decapitated some of the children. A fourth-grade survivor described how she survived by playing dead, smearing herself with her best friend's blood. And parent Kimberly Rubio demanded action at the emotional hearing. Her daughter Lexi died in the shooting.
Somewhere out there, there's a mom listening to our testimony, thinking, I can't even imagine their pain, not knowing that our reality will one day be hers, unless we act now.
But can testimony like that move the needle in the Senate on gun control? Our political strategists join us to talk about that, also the big takeaways from last night's primaries, and what to look for in tomorrow night's hearing on the January 6th riot. Alice Stewart is a Republican. Bill Press is a Democrat. Hello to both of you.
Hi, Celeste. Good to be here.
Hi, Peter.
So as we mentioned today, family members from Uvalde testified. Yesterday, Garnell Whitfield Jr., the son of a Buffalo shooting victim, testified.
My mother's life mattered. My mother's life mattered. And your actions here today will tell us how much it matters to you.
And also yesterday at the White House, actor and Uvalde native Matthew McConaughey pointed to the green Converse sneakers of a Uvalde fourth grade victim as he pleaded for action.
These are the same green Converse on her feet that turned out to be the only clear evidence that could identify her after the shooting. How about that?
So, Alice, are Republicans who don't support some kind of change to gun rules out of step with voters at this point?
Oh, Celeste, hearing each and every one of those stories is heartbreaking and gut-wrenching. And I truly believe that people are feeling that enough is enough and it's time to act. And I'm encouraged to hear there is still conversation going on in the House, in the Senate. We do understand that the House is going to go ahead and put forth some measures that have slim chance of passing, but they're putting proposals on the table. I am encouraged and optimistic that something will happen over on the Senate side. It's important, though, to look at, if we're looking at gun safety measures, we also have to consider the other factors, such as mental health, points of entry, background checks, and all of this is still being discussed. And if I can reiterate another point that Matthew McConaughey said, it's critical that one thing not to get lost is to not vilify people on either side of this and making sure that responsible gun owners are not punished and vilified because of the act of irresponsible law-breaking gun owners.
Bill, we're going to give you a chance to jump in here in just a minute, but real quick, Alice, CNN is reporting that Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell privately has said that he supports raising the age to buy one of these big heavy-duty rifles to 21, but that he won't say it publicly. Would you urge him to do that?
100%. I absolutely would. I think this is a common sense, responsible measure to take, and I truly believe if that were the law in effect, that could have had an impact in Uvalde. And look, I think what's important here is the negotiations happen in confidence behind closed doors and bring forth common sense, meaningful legislation that can pass in the Senate. So I'm encouraged that McConnell has put Cornyn at the lead of this and is continuing to have these conversations.
So right now, Bill, it looks like a compromise agreement would be incremental, small changes, maybe incentivizing states to pass so-called red flag laws that would temporarily take guns away from dangerous people or allow more access to juvenile crime or mental health records when a background search is conducted. If it were one of these incremental changes, do you think Democrats would go for it?
Well, first, let me just agree with Alice that raising the age from 18 to 21 is a no-brainer. I mean, you know, they've done that in Florida. The idea that in Texas, you can't buy a handgun if you're 18, but you can buy an AR-15, it's just pure insanity. So that, I think, is an absolute must. I think the expanding the background checks has to be an absolute must. And there are other measures. But in direct response, you agree with Alice, too, the gut-wrenching testimony that we've heard. yesterday and today. I mean, God, as a parent, it's just hard to take. And I think the American people have had it. They really do want to see some action. As to your question, whether it's incremental or not, I would hope they would do more. I think there should be a ban on assault weapons. We're not going to see that. But, you know, here's the bottom line. If the choice is do something or do nothing, we know do nothing doesn't work. So damn right, do as much as we can, get as much as we can done, and then hopefully that will set the stage for some further negotiation and some more meaningful reform focused on the guns. We have to focus on the guns and make certain guns not available and reduce the number of guns that are out there that people can use.
We know, Bill and Alice, I want to ask you both this just very briefly in a word. We know even this will be difficult. We've been here before. Mm-hmm. In a word, do you think a law will pass? Alice and then Bill.
Yes, I do.
I do, and I agree with McConnell saying that we need to have an outcome that's related to the subject matter, and that includes guns, mental health, points of entry, as well as background checks.
I'm sorry, I have to go there. Look, I'm so sick of this talk about mental health. Yeah, people have mental health problems in this country. So do they in Australia. So do they in New Zealand. So do they in Canada. So do they in the UK. Why all the mass murders in this country? Because we have too damn many guns out there, and we have to do something about the guns.
Let's move on and talk about the primaries. Bill, you were the head of the California Democratic Party. I wanted to ask you to read the tea leaves on San Francisco voters recalling their district attorney, Chesa Boudin. He was a leading voice on criminal justice reform, eliminating cash bail. Can we take a message about his recall for the wider national view on progressive policies or not?
Well, I think there are two lessons. One is, yes, the lesson nationally is crime. People are concerned about crime in every city, in every town in America today. And politicians, mayors, district attorneys, whatever, have to recognize that and they have to deal with it and make people know they're dealing with it, number one. But I wouldn't read too much into the national lesson on this. As former Democratic chair of California, you know, I've checked with my friends in San Francisco, and I think the read on this district attorney is, from what I hear from my friends, he was basically tone deaf. He pissed off a lot of people. And I think the lesson there is you don't run for district attorney and win and then govern like a public defender. Mm. People want a district attorney to be a district attorney.
I hear you that it may have been a one-off, but listen, hold on. Let's just go down the interstate to Los Angeles because there's another interesting race there for mayor, progressive Congresswoman Karen Bass, and tough-on-crime real estate developer Rick Caruso, who ran as a Democrat but really was a Republican up until just – or an independent up until just months ago. Alice, what do you think?
Look,
can you read into that one?
This says loud and clear that people of California and people across the country are fed up with high crime. And look, the progressive phrase of the day might be criminal justice reform, but this is way more than being soft on crime. This is being blind to crime. When we have incidences of brazen shoplifting attempts and smash and grab and burglaries and robberies and crimes, and there is no prosecution for this, that is not an environment that creates safe haven for citizens, and they're tired of that. And look, it's important to get people in there that will fight the crime problem, put an end to this. I think this is just the first of many cities and many areas where we're going to see the soft on crime policies be defeated.
Let's move to the hearings on January 6th. House Republican Conference.
May I make a quick comment on Los Angeles? Because Alice didn't answer that. I just want to say my take on Los Angeles. The next mayor of Los Angeles will be a Democrat. And the voters have two good choices. Businessman Rick Caruso and former Speaker of the Assembly Karen Bass, period.
So we only have about a minute left, but I wanted to give each of you 30 seconds to tell me what you will be watching for tomorrow night when we have the hearings on January 6th. So let me go to you first, Alice. In 30 seconds, what are you watching for?
two things can be true. We need to find the answers to what happened and how January 6th came about, and we need to hold those people responsible, and they should be, because it was wrong and should never have happened. At the same time, voters have moved on. They are concerned about the economy and crime and jobs. So I don't see this as an impact in the midterm elections, but I do want to see people held accountable for the insurrection.
You got about 15 seconds here, Bill.
I would just say, let's remember what happened. An armed mob assaulted the Capitol, threatened the life of every member of Congress and the vice president. We have to find out how it happened and who's responsible and hold them accountable. And I hope we consider that as important as the price of a gallon of gas.
Bill Press is a Democratic strategist. Alice Stewart is a Republican strategist. Thanks.
Thank you.